it's difficult for others to know how to be a part of another person's grief in a tragic event such as a miscarriage.
Deaconess Catherine Ziegler-Weber, editor of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage.
But as Christians, we have a more significant death that unifies us, and that's what we have to cling to, is the cross.
Learn more about Never Forsaken at issuesetc.org.
But for Western man to know Christ and then to turn away from him, to have his whole civilization built upon the Christian faith and then to turn away from that, is suicide.
This is an outrageous and terrible abuse. Of course, kids are resilient and God is gracious and God can work despite the terrible things we do to one another. But divorce is absolutely devastating to children.
It's not just that Jesus lays down his life for those who are innocent victims of senseless violence. It's that Jesus lays down his life for those who actively hated him.
Colorado trumpet players love Issues Etc.
If you regard the categories or the designations boy and girl as some sort of false binary, this social construct that we have all forced upon one another, or more and more lately that are being forced on people that don't deserve to have such ideas forced on them. If you regard boy and girl, something rather basic to human biology, to be a imposition, an ideological imposition on you and your children, I guess it doesn't surprise you. You're going to find a story in the Washington Post about a toddler, Naya, who is being permitted to choose his, her, their. I'm not really sure of the pronouns here because we live in a very confused world right now. Own sex. Is a three-year-old able to come to that conclusion? Is a child able to understand the ramifications of, well, at least the way I would see it, choosing wrong, that is against their biological sex and gender? No, they're not. It's child abuse. That's what it is. But it gets a lot of space in the Washington Post, a story about a toddler choosing his, her, their own sex and gender. Greetings, welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 25th of September. We're going to be talking about this Washington Post story. Glenn Stanton, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, will be our guest a little bit later. Pastor Jonathan Fisk joins us. We'll talk about wisdom and fear. It does say several times in Scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And often we are told that just means awe. That just means you stand before God like you would the Grand Canyon or something like that. Jonathan Fisk says, no, it's talking about real fear. There is a healthy fear of God that is part of faith. Pastor Tom Baker will join us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Joseph forgiving his brothers in the latter chapters of Genesis. Then Molly Hemingway, a Fox News contributor, will be with us. We'll get her thoughts on the sexual misconduct allegations surrounding Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. In the meantime, joining us to talk about a Washington Post story on toddlers choosing their own sex, Glenn Stanton, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Washington Post Celebrates the Ignorant Delusion of Letting Toddlers Choose Their Sex. Glenn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Before we get into the story itself, and it is, if it weren't a real child, it could be a comedy routine on Saturday Night Live, but it is a real child, making it all the more tragic. Do such stories help or hurt the cause of gender redefinition?
Well, I mean, that's the $1,000 question. I think for your listeners, Todd, you just kind of lay out this story. A, you know, otherwise serious journalist for the Washington Post lists this story about these two men who are raising this child, Naya, like you said, and they, you know, think it's very wise, and this journalist thinks it's very enlightened parenting to say, hey, let's not jam this child into one box or the other just because they have, you know, one body part or the other, you know, down between their legs. Let's do the enlightened thing and let them choose? You know, it turns out to be a her. As I say in the piece, you know, anybody could kind of guess what this child, you know, is by, you know, the way she behaves herself. But it's, I mean, you read this thing and it's just goofy, like you said. And I mean, I don't say that to be ugly. It's just the reasonable conclusion that you could come to. And I ask the question that you asked in the piece is, when average people read this, not even conservatives, but like, you know, the general Washington Post reader, do they think, hey, honey, you've got to read this. This is nuts. I tend to be more hopeful. And I think them publishing stories like this, even with sort of the mushy middle, they read this stuff and they think, are these people insane? And that's the conclusion. I mean, there's just mental illness or child abuse going on here, like you said.
Give us the details of this as it's presented in the Washington Post.
Yeah, the details are, journalist says, I just met this delightful little child. She's almost 3 years old and being raised by two men, Jeremy and Brian, and they have gotten the enlightened idea to let this child determine her own gender. And when the child was born, they said, they posted on their Facebook page for all of their family and friends to say, do not use gendered pronouns to refer to this child. Refer to the child as Naya, because we're going to let her decide her gender when she gets old. And this journalist, you know, is acclaiming this as enlightened kind of parenting. And it's interesting. And here's the nub of the story here. One day, this journalist says, one day, Jeremy is putting Naya to bed for her nap. And Naya has this little favorite stuffed toy, and it has just gone by the name Doggy. And just before she's about to go to sleep, she tells Jeremy, Doggy is a boy. I want to refer to him as a boy and call him he. And so Jeremy, you know, that's fine. And then Jeremy, while Brian is off at work on this particular day, says, and what would you like for me to call you? Okay, get this, you know, this big life decision, this big thing that they had to post on Facebook, you know, letting everybody know that this is this child's big life decision and we don't want anybody to spoil it. Brian's off at work. Jeremy just asks her this question this day, and she just, you know, like she's picking what kind of cookie or ice cream she wants, she goes, oh, I'm a girl, and I want to be known as a girl, and that's me. And so Jeremy says, well, is that just today and forever or forever? And she goes, oh, it's forever. I'm a girl. And so there we go. It's just wacky. It's just goofy. And then this, the journalist quotes Jeremy later as saying, well, it wouldn't have mattered in any way what Naya had chosen. One choice is just as good as another. And you think about that, okay? Either she's a boy or a girl. It's not just her picking what seems nice, a chocolate chip cookie or an oatmeal cookie. You know, even according to their own philosophy, they want her to be able to say what she actually is. And so, Jeremy, there is a right answer. And the right answer would have been, you know, according to your own philosophy, whatever it is she understands herself to be. And the big point here, Todd, and I'll just, you know, I'll end with this, is these people are telling lies about what it means to be human, about what it means to be male and female, and they cannot keep their lies straight. They contradict themselves at every turn. And this Washington Post piece is full of such contradictions.
You say that gender theory, this contemporary gender theory, is pure ideology. What do you mean by that?
It's not rooted in any kind of objective reality. It is sheer belief. It exists merely because those who propose it want the world to be this way. There is no science whatsoever that indicates there is something called a transgender individual, or that gender is a social construct, or that male and female are just artificial and we can just determine whatever it is we want to be. Biologists know. I mean, those who work in laboratories with test tubes and beakers and, you know, making real measurements, they know that male and female are real things. They exist in every bit of our DNA. But gender theory is just, I mean, there's more connection, if you will, between religious studies on any campus and the science departments than there is between gender studies departments and the science departments. I mean, as I say in the article, gender studies isn't even close enough to science to catch its cold. I mean, they're two very different things, and never the twain shall meet.
What you point out is the primary contradiction that you mentioned before is that throughout this piece in the Washington Post, either on the part of the parents of this child or the reporter that is reporting on the story, they constantly employ unintentionally the binary of boy and girl, while the theory undergirding their fascination with this toddler choosing their own sex would deny such a thing.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. Gender theory says there's a rainbow of different genders. But the journalist herself even says, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just let our children decide whether they are a boy or a girl? And you want to throw a flag on the field and go, okay, wait a minute here. Why would we prevent the child from identifying with any of the other wonderful colors of the gender in the rainbow? Why are you limiting them to just boy and girl? And I'll point out things like this in gender conferences that I go to, and they go, yes, you're right. They can't even keep their own story straight. And a professor, even in one presentation, he'll begin saying, well, gender is a spectrum, but then he'll end up, or she will end up saying, but we should let boys and girls decide what they want to be. It's nutty.
As I said before, and as you have concurred, Glenn, if this were a satire, it might kind of highlight the nuttiness of it. But this is not satire. These are real parents. This is a real child. And these are not the only people who have bought into this kind of idea du jour about gender. What are your final thoughts there?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's how I conclude the article, is if adults want to live in this make-believe world, you know what, have at it. But the moment you bring children into this delusion, you have called into question your goodness as a parent and your saneness as an adult. And then as well, when you require by force of law and public shaming to require that all of us play along with your illusion, as I say it, I mean, that's the worst kind of fundamentalism and fascism that can exist.
Finally, then, does this have, because it is pure ideology, because it has no basis in reality, does it have the ability to sustain itself, or is this simply an idea that will come and then fall under its own weight?
You know what? That is such a great question and point, Todd, because you're absolutely right. Lies can never sustain themselves. And we had this back in the 60s when parents were trying to raise their kids in non-gendered ways. But guess what? When you bought little Susie a fire truck, she wrapped that fire truck up and put it to bed for its nap. And, you know, when you gave Johnny a broom and a mop in his kitchen set, he used it as a sword. You know, you cannot get away from nature. It is a creeping, consistent thing that we just cannot redefine. And those who try to redefine it will be shown in time to be charlatans. And that's exactly what is going to happen here. Yet, a number of children, thousands of them, are going to be hurt in the process, and they are being hurt.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He is author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Washington Post Celebrates the Ignorant Delusion of Letting Toddlers Choose Their Sex. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Glenn, thank you.
Hey, you bet, Todd. Thank you. Bye-bye.
When we come back, it'll be part four of our series on Proverbs. Today, we'll be talking about wisdom and fear. It says in Scripture several places, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that word fear mean? We'll answer that question with Pastor Fisk after this. You can meet and hear Anthony Esselin, John Warwick Montgomery, Ryan Anderson, Bev Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, and Chris Rosebro at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. issuesetc.org.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.